Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the monthly speaker meeting of the Newington Kiwanis. My name is Bob Seiler. I'm with the Kiwanis Club. And again, we welcome you all here to Paradise Pizza, Paradise Restaurant and Pizza in New Britain, where we hold our meetings twice a month. Because they have wonderful food and even better service. I'm going to turn the show over to Stephen Parker, who I remember as little dune buggy Stephen. And Steve will introduce our speaker.
All right, thank you, Bob.
Let's hear from Bob Seiler.
Remember Bob back when he worked at the Texaco station, and he worked at Sears and all kinds of things back then. We were neighbors way back before he decided to go into the world of law enforcement. That's because you made believe you were doing that at the other job. They finally said, you know, better get doing that. All right, just a quick question around the room. How many people from Kiwanis are here? Can I just hear a round of applause from Kiwanis? Yay. All right, how about my broadcasting brothers in arms? Yay. All right, I want to thank you very much for coming out tonight. Of course, everybody knows Bill Hennessy. He's a great guy. He's been around for a long time. But he's been a great part of a lot of our lives as he grew up in Connecticut broadcasting. I also would like to just make the announcement for anybody who might have missed it. My sister Kathy Morgan was named Newington Teacher of the Year today. So how about a round of applause for that? So Kathy's getting the biggest kick out of it. You know, my dad, Charlie Parker, my mom, Ann Pat Parker, were both at WDRC. And Kathy said to me, can you believe that both of us are doing things, making presentations today? She says, Mom and Dad got to be loving this. So she had hers this morning, I've got mine tonight. And it's just amazing how life goes around like that. I'm going to introduce the main man himself. And Bill has some stories he's going to share with you. And he also has a couple of things up his sleeve. So ladies and gentlemen, you've seen him for years. You grew up with him on the radio, on TV, and he still looks exactly the same because he's got the same stylist and makeup person. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bill Hennessy.
I am overwhelmed. But Kathy's husband, Jack Morgan, is sitting over here, retired Newington police officer. So he too deserves a round of applause for the fact that his wife is the Teacher of the Year. Charlie Parker's son-in-law. And that name, Charlie Parker, doesn't mean a lot maybe to the Kiwanians, but to everybody else who's here from broadcasting. He was the genius of Hartford Radio that really brought Hartford into the forefront of modern radio some years ago. Now, first of all, I want to begin by saying, all of you Kiwanians, you feel free to leave whenever you want. The rest of us are going to stay and talk all night. Because there's two groups represented here. One of them is called the Boobs, the Bunch of Old Broadcasters. We ordinarily meet the last Monday of each month at the Arch Street Tavern in downtown Hartford. We sit around and lie and cheat and steal and rope each other and listen to the music of the Hartford Jazz Orchestra, a fabulous group. They're playing tonight, but we're here tonight because we take a summer vacation. The other group that's also represented here is called the Clan, Connecticut's loudmouth announcers, newscasters, and sociopaths. They met just two weekends ago at Harper Park in Middletown under the aegis of the WPOP alumni. Now, the Boobs is from every station. The Clan is primarily from POP, but they invited a lot of other people to come too. And we were there just a couple of weeks ago. I think some of the people are still there, as a matter of fact. I saw a couple of them in the rain barrel because they couldn't get out before they left. And there may be some familiar faces here as well as voices, so you will enjoy me for just a short time, because I'm going to call upon some of the people in the audience to get up and make some comments too. So I've got to warn you in advance that you may be called upon to say something. That's what this microphone is all about. Now, the idea for tonight started some weeks back, when a fellow named Al Cohen, you might have heard of him. Al Cohen convinced me to come to speak to the Quarter Century Wireless Club. which met down in Wallingford. It meets a couple of times a year, and they have a whole bunch of ham radio operators who want to sit around and talk about their first love, which was broadcasting. And so I agreed to do it, and lo and behold, the next thing, Al's on the phone, "Would you come and speak to my Kiwanis Club too?" I said, "Okay, I guess." I said, "I'm not promising anything. I don't have any prepared talk to give. I'll just stand up there and talk." He says, "Okay." And he said, "I don't know how many people will show up, but I'll send out a press release." Well, lo and behold, the press release has drawn a lot more people than even Al must have expected, because I know it was in the Hartford Current, it was sent out in the email, and I got a call from the Bristol Rotary Club, "Will you come and do the same thing?" So if you guys will all come with me to the Bristol Rotary Club on October 20th, we can do this all over again.
Okay.
Actually, we did this one time. I don't know how Steve, where's Steve? Where did Steve go? When did we do that thing at the Shrine Mosque?
Probably end of the winter, beginning of spring.
Well, some months back, Steve roped us, when I say us, I'll explain in a minute, into coming to the Shrine Mosque to talk about old radio days. And there were three of us at that time. John Fleming, whose name may not ring a bell, but he was the voice and face of Bernie's TV and appliances for many, many years. Everybody thought that he was Bernie. Well, Bernie's been dead for a long time, Bernie Rosenberg. So John Fleming was not really Bernie. He wasn't even Bernie's son, Milton, but he did the commercials for many, many years. And the other fellow that was on that program with us that night was one of the greatest guys in broadcasting in the Hartford area, named Bob Ellsworth, whom I'm pleased to say I visited up until about an hour ago. He's in a convalescent home right now. He's having a little difficulty, but he's in very good shape. I was surprised at how well he looked and how well he sounded. He has difficulty with his throat box, his voice box, but he was speaking clearly, and he hopes to be on the air this Saturday night. He does a show from 4 to 6 on Saturdays on WJMJ 88.9, where faith meets life. And it's owned by the Archdiocese of Hartford, but it's not a stodgy old religious station. It's probably the closest thing to a real radio station in these days that we have available to us in the Hartford area. And the program director for WJMJ is sitting right over here in the person of Walt Pinto, who formerly was, he was known as Ken Clark on WBRC. And sitting next to him is Barry Grant, who hosted a show called Grant's Tomb on WDRC. And next to Barry Grant is Frank Donovan of WBMI, Donovan on Broadway on years and years ago. And next to Frank is Dave Nagel, who was at DRC for 150 years. He's now on WJMJ Saturday mornings. And next to Dave Nagel is a fellow that you might remember named Arnold Dean. And next to Arnold Dean is a fellow that is in charge of the website for the WTIC alumni, Dave Kaplan. And I don't know where to stop. That's what the problem is when you do these things. You go around the room and you keep running into people and you don't know what to say because there's so many things to say. So I'll try to confine my remarks and then I'll call upon some of the others to add theirs as well. Now, when we go back to Hartford Radio, we go back to things that some of us may have forgotten, but I'm sure there's one thing that we all remember if we're old enough. And by that I mean, you haven't got to be 75 like I am, but you haven't even got to be 55. But you've got to be old enough to remember some of the jingles that went with old radio commercials. And one of those jingles, I'm sure you all know. So I'm going to invite you to sing along with me. When I begin the jingle, you'll pick up on it immediately, and you'll know what I'm talking about. And it goes like this. Arthur, 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 open all the time. Arthur, 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 open all the time. Always open, never closed. Always open, never closed. Now, what you didn't know about that jingle, first of all, it was stolen from the dreidel song, which anybody in Hebrew school would know. But it was written by a fellow who worked at a radio station which hasn't existed for many years. Their station was owned by the Hartford Times, and it was called WTHT. And the author of that jingle is none other than Al Cohen. Now, when Al was writing jingles for Arthur's Drugstore in downtown Hartford, always open, never closed, no longer true, by the way. They also had a store over in Manchester. And when they changed their hours, I've forgotten how they changed the jingle, but it wasn't always open, never closed. It was mostly open, never closed. Al finally got an honest job, and he went into the field of appliances and radio and TV equipment, and I don't know, he lived happily ever after. And his wife is very active in Newington Town politics, so they're still with us. Al is 91 years old. And another fellow who is almost 91 years old had his, I don't know what number it is, but he had his birthday yesterday. The fellow that heads up the Klan, the Connecticut loudmouth announcers, newscasters, and sociopaths, Lee Gordon's birthday was yesterday. So Lee, as a tribute to you, and we see Lee three times a week on Channel 61 at 2 o'clock doing the Connecticut Lottery midday drawings. Lee, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lee. Happy birthday to you.
And you know something? This is something that Lee would remember, because Lee was in the other camp. I can't believe I even touched this, to tell you the truth, but somebody brought it into the room. But that was with the POP good guys. Hold that up.
Okay, listen, from the WPOP days, that Colin McEnroe wrote about yesterday in the Hartford Courant. Now, just when we thought it was safe to turn on your radio, Colin McEnroe is back on the air on WNPR, Connecticut Public Radio. He's going to be doing a one-hour show, I guess, every day. And he wrote about it in yesterday's Courant on the editorial section in the... When you open the page, it's right at the top of the line there. And he mentioned how he was a nerd all through high school. He outgrew high school, but never outgrew being a nerd. And he was trying to become normal, and he did it by listening to his favorite radio announcers, and he enumerated some of them. He mentioned Lee Baby Sims, which is a real name from the past.
Dickie Robinson.
He mentioned Ken Griffin. And he mentioned Dickie Robinson,
Dickie Robinson
of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And so Colin McEnroe is going to be back in the airwaves, but he doesn't go back as far as the era that I'm talking about. I doubt if Colin himself even remembers the Arthur, Arthur, Arthur jingle. But WTHT was owned by the Hartford Times. It was located right under the overpass by the railroad station, next to one of my favorite eating establishments called the Chicken Coop. If anybody remembers downtown Hartford, well, also working at that station was C.P. Patterson, Crean P. Patterson, who was one of the first singing weathermen in America when WTHT and Channel 18 signed on. They had on their staff Jack Borden, Crean Patterson, they had Bob Ellsworth, they had Dick Pertell. And Bob Ellsworth and Dick Pertell eventually moved on to WTIC Radio, where I joined them about a year later, right before they signed on Channel 3 Television. That was in September of 1957, so we're going back just a few years. In addition to WTHT at that time, we had WONS on Pratt Street. It was a walk-up. A guy named Bob Andrews and a gal named Ann Schoenhill were the two people I remember most from there. But they had an announcer named Jack Lacey. Now, Jack Lacey is not a name familiar to most of you, but the apocryphal story about Jack is that he looked for a $5 a week raise at WONS, and he was denied the raise. So he went to WINS in New York, and he became the host of Listen to Lacey, one of the top stations in the country, coming out of Hartford, Connecticut. And a lot of big people did come out of Hartford, Connecticut. I was thinking, driving up here tonight from my home in Niantic, about some of the other people. One of my classmates in college is a guy named Mordecai Dubitsky, whom you're all familiar with, under the name Morton Dean.
Yes.
Wow. CBS News, ABC News. Wow. Morty worked at WKNB Radio, which was in New Britain, Connecticut, right downtown, many, many years ago. Another New Britain station at that time, headed by a very popular fellow named Charlie Bell, whose son Jeff is with us tonight, sitting right there. That's Jeff Bell. Charlie Bell ran WHAY Radio. And WHAY Radio eventually became WRCQ or WRCH, and the guy that ran that is Enzo De Dominicis, who's also sitting in the back of the room. So I don't know how Al did this to get these people out, because most of them belong in funeral homes. But they're here and they're live, and I think they're lively. So as I said before, if any of you Kiwanians want to leave early, go ahead. Because we won't be out of here till Wednesday at the earliest. In addition to WKNB and WHAY and WTHT and WONS, there were some other radio stations. There was WDRC, which was a carbon copy, a clone, of all the big network stations at the time. They were located at 750 Main Street, the Connecticut Bank and Trust Company building, with a big red neon sign outside, WDRC.
Woo!
The Doolittle Radio Corporation. And that was a very staid, solid CBS affiliate station, just like the other station in town that was owned by the Travelers Insurance Companies, whose initials gave it its call letters, WTIC. WTIC, the Travelers in Hartford. That's how you had to give the announcers station breaks. You had an announcer's manual, you had to wear suits and ties, which I no longer do. And it was a very formal, very good operation. It wasn't even on the main drag, it was at 26 Grove Street in the Travelers building, which was the tower building. And then along came television, everything changed, and as broadcasting continued to grow, other things changed, and one of the biggest changes occurred when Jack Morgan's father-in-law and Charlie Parker's father changed WDRC from the staid, solid, conservative CBS affiliate into Connecticut's first premier rock and roll station. Now, I don't happen to be a particular rock and roll fan.
August 18th, 1960. Next August 18th, there'll be 50 years of rock and roll.
50 years of rock and roll?
Never left.
I don't know. Lee Gordon, will you dispute that from WPOP?
Never left. Last year, we tried to figure out when WPOP started playing.
Hang on. If you're
going to
try to take this out.
I don't need no stinking microphone. Last year, we tried to figure out, for the purposes of throwing a party, an anniversary party, when WPOP started playing rock and roll. And even Hartford area radio historian Ed Bruder, who runs a couple of really great websites that chronicle the history of POP and DRC, even he couldn't figure it out. But the best we could come up with was full-time in 1958.
Throw the damn party anyway.
And we did.
Well, they had a big party last year. It was at the Pump House at Bushnell Park. About 60 people showed up, some of them coming as far west as from California. Rick Sullivan, who, by the way, was Merv Griffin's right-hand man and still is running Merv Griffin Enterprises. He was formerly at WPOP. I might have mentioned, if I haven't already, that one of the POP sales managers is right down front. That's Bob Gruske, busily eating away. General manager of WPOP. So we had a real battle going on between WDRC and WPOP. Now, POP was the good guys.
Right. It still is today.
And DRC was... What was the slogan, Charlie? Steve?
Oh, Steve. Oh, geez. We know Big D, and then we had Where Your Friends Are, a couple of different things. I think we were the good guys. No, you were the good guys, and we were the better guys? Is that what?
No, we were the good guys and the good guys.
Well, you know, one of the things about this business is so interesting is you keep running across people that you've grown.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. Dad, I'm sorry. He just shot it to me from the good heavens above. Fun is, WDRC was your radio, number one for radio fun. Fun is WDRC. That's what it was.
WDRC was one of the leading stations in the country. They broke a lot of records. They made, by that I mean musical records, became popular thanks to the play that they received in the Hartford market. It usually began with a gal named Bertha Porter. Bertha Porter was the music librarian for WDRC. And her boyfriend was a guy named Matt Clark. Now, you didn't hear of Matt Clark, but Matt Clark's brother was Buddy Clark, the singer. So you see how these things kind of draw themselves one way through the other. Buddy Clark hosted a show called The Carnation Hour on CBS Radio, coast to coast for years. He was killed in a plane crash many years ago. But the fact is, Hartford gave birth to a lot of prominent people. Thinking of DRC for a minute, another one of my college classmates, we used to ride back and forth from Boston all the time, was a guy named Jerry Bloom, who changed his name when he got the WCCC in Hartford, about which more in a second. And then he went to WDRC, became Jerry Bishop. And to this day, you can go on the WDRC website, and there's also a website for WPOP, and you can hear air checks of what the stations used to sound like years ago. And Jerry Bishop, Jerry Bloom, the WDRC, big day, big story, was one of the things that he did. Now, you can still hear Jerry Bloom, by the way. He's the announcer for the Judge Judy show, coast to coast from Hollywood, where he's resided for many, many years. Well, anyway, getting back to the fact that we had CBS and WDRC, TIC was NBC, very straight-laced, as I mentioned. THT was ABC, and WONS had two networks. One was a New England network called the Yankee Network. The other was Mutual Broadcasting. So we had four network stations, and their programming was very much alike. It was soap operas during the day, and newscasts, and commentaries, and things of that nature. There was only one station that did something different in Hartford. It was a station founded by two brothers named Max and Bill. Aha, you beat me to the punch. Now, if you remember POMG, Peace of Mind Guarantee. Bob, you picked it up right away. Everybody remembers that. It hasn't been heard for years. Bill Savitt and Max Savitt, his brother, the judge, put on a radio station in 1948 called WCCC. It was located in the basement of the Hotel Bond. And when I went to work there, in between my freshman and sophomore years in college, we were right downstairs, where across the hall from the kitchen of the Hotel Bond. And I loved to go into the studios, because you could smell everything cooking and baking. And the men's room was right down there, too. It was very, very convenient. And it was a daytime station, and one of the few remaining people from those days who's still around. And he's still on the air. He'll be going on the air in just a half an hour on WJMJ. Is Ivor Hugh presenting Good Evening, Good Music. And we had Good Morning, Good Music. We had Good Afternoon, Good Music. And we had Good Evening, Good Music on WCCC, along with TNT on CCC, Time, News, and Temperature. Every 15 minutes, we'd give the time, we'd give one headline, and whatever the temperature was. It was a very successful station, mainly because it wasn't doing what all of the other stations were doing. And that didn't change until Charlie Parker changed WDRC, and in the meantime, WONS and WTHT merged, and they formed what was known as WGTH, General Times Hartford. It was General Tire, the Hartford Times, and Hartford. WGTH, they were on Asylum Street, where WTHT used to be, and that eventually became WPOP, which moved to the Shelburne Apartments, pretty much across the street, down near near the railroad station. I'm trying to think of the name of that triangle, where Farmington Avenue and Asylum Avenue split off. And the battle between DRC and POP was something to behold. Now, unfortunately for POP, they could only be heard on the Berlin Turnpike.
I resembled that remark.
And that's because their transmitter was located right over here in New England, in the swamp, off Cedar Street, and it's still there, the transmitter is, and it would radiate through the swamp waters and reach all of the people who were traveling along the Berlin Turnpike. And one of the engineers who would explain this all to you is Lee Steele, who's also seated over here, who's the chief engineer for about 50 radio stations in Hartford or Connecticut. He's built a lot of them. And speaking of engineers, there's another engineer here. There's a couple of actually, I mentioned Dave Kaplan already. But John Reno of WTIC's engineering staff, who was the chief engineer, is also with us. So I don't know where I'm going to stop, but I'm going to keep on going until you people kick me out or until you kick the others out. Now, at the TIC time, before we signed on with television, they hired a lot of people at the last minute just to get ready for TV. and they let down all of their criteria for hiring people. They hired me, and they hired a guy that came all the way down from Maine. He had a real Maine accent, too. By gory, he still talks like that. And he does the Bert and I routine to a T. His name is Dewey Dow, and he was the newsman at whom I worked at WTIC Radio. Punch
it. Was a wicked good radio station.
Yeah, and in the meantime, there was a station that came on the air over in the bustling metropolis, the GM capital of New England, called Bristol. And one of the fellows that worked in the Bristol station, also in the engineering department, was Dick Newcity, who's sitting right over here. Now, that reminds me that Dick Newcity is also the immediate past president of the Officers Club at the State Armory in Hartford, which is right across the driveway from the Hartford Current, which is soon to also become the offices and facilities of WTIC-TV Channel 61. They're moving in as we speak. Am I right, Dick Wisniak? December. Okay, they got delayed. They were supposed to move in October. By the way, I alluded to Dick Wisniak. Dick Wisniak, you also see on television for the Connecticut Lottery. He draws the numbers very frequently. Stand up and let them see who you are. He's... Dick Wisniak is one of the most ardent boosters for the city of New Britain you'll ever see. And while I'm mentioning that, is anybody else here an alumnus of Central Connecticut State University? Well, there's, okay, there's Norm, and there's a couple of others. Okay, Dick, you've made your night, because he's the former president of the CCSU Alumni Association, and even though we keep trying to talk him into taking the early retirement offer from the Connecticut Lottery, he's been there the second longest of any employee. I know that because after my many years in broadcasting, I too finally got an honest job. Oh, semi-honest. I went to work for the state. In the lottery. And thank goodness I did. And let me tell you why. Because all those radio stations, and I even worked in banking for 6 or 7 years, and those banks, Bird Mutual Savings and Waterbury Savings, they've all disappeared. And I get a pension check that doesn't bounce, and I got the world's best medical plan, and I'm very grateful that I ended up stumbling into doing the Rainbow Jackpot show on TV for the Connecticut Lottery, where I spent, well, up until June of this year. Actually, I retired 7 years ago, but I was what the governor called double dipper. And my double dipping days lasted for 7 years doing a very important function every Wednesday morning with Lee Gordon. He and I and two security officers would very diligently weigh 700 ping pong balls once a week. Does that sound like a tough state job? All right, so what happened? Well, radio gave way to this new creature called television. Channel 18 was the first TV station, and Channel 30 followed very quickly. Channel 30 was an outgrowth of WKNB radio, owned by the head of an advertising agency named Julian Gross. And Channel 30 was NBC, Channel 18 was CBS. They were both UHF, ultra high frequency, which means you had to have a special receiver to be able to get the signal. And in those days, I lived out in the bustling metropolis of Marlboro, and we couldn't get anything except Channel 6. Channel 6? Yes, Channel 6, which is now Channel 8. Channel 8 was first Channel 6, WNHC-TV.